Hey everybody, welcome into this episode of Super Sumo Brothers. As always, I'm Mike, and here with Andy.
Hey everyone.
And we're going to jump right in here to the second week of the July Basho. We're going to be talking about the second week, like I said, so if you haven't watched it yet or you're worried about spoilers, I recommend you pause now or go watch Sumo and then come back and listen to this. But anyway, so we'll jump right in and thoughts. Quite the tournament, Andy.
Yeah, no, it had its ups, it had its downs. It had consistency, which is something that I wanted. Some surprises, both positive and negative. A kind of unexpected winner, but kind of expected since, you know, where he was just a couple of years ago, and we know what he's capable of doing. So,
yeah. Terada Fuji is obviously who you're talking about.
Yeah. We have our opinion on Terada Fuji when he was regularly in Ozeki and everything like that. But, I'll give him props for coming back.
He was part of the core of Ozeki's that were pretty he wasn't up there that long in terms of the core group.
Yeah, he was up there, I think, enough that, you know, he was consistently up.
He fought well every time, whether or not he was an Ozeki.
Yeah, I mean, he was an Ozeki from September, let me just double check. Yeah, July of 2015 through pretty much until he was injured. His last full tournament was May of 2017.
Yeah, so 2 years at Ozeki.
Yeah, and so
it's pretty good.
Yeah, and even before then, he was still Sekiwake. I mean, he climbed through Makuuchi pretty quickly to get up there. But yeah, so he was part of that core, you know, with Guido and Kota Shogiku and Kasino Sato, and they were pretty much like the four amigos. They fought together. So when he was up there, he was performing well. So I'm not really surprised by his Yusho this month.
And again, we had a Hakuho pullout.
Yeah,
which adds that asterisk again. I feel like in the last year that's kind of been dropped.
Yeah, I know. I'll still say I wouldn't be surprised if Hakuho next month goes 15-0, just because that's what he'll do. He'll pull out, realize that he can't win, and then he'll get back at it and just perform out of his mind again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the good thing, I guess, about this one, like, you know, as opposed to Tokushoru, who won back in January, which is funny because they're both 17. Now we have two 17s win in 1 year. I'd like to see a stat on that to see if there's ever been, you know, how often do 17s win or that lower ranked actually win? Like,
yeah,
because it's, I mean, we haven't seen that was the lowest in 20 years when Tokushoru won. Mm-hmm. In January, so now we have another Magashiro 17 winning it.
Yeah, it's got to be a ridiculously long time since that's happened, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he pulled out. So Hakuho pulled out on day, was it 13? I believe.
It was 13. He had back to back losses, which we 20 because we talked about this last episode where, you know, if you know you're performing poorly, or if you've had a couple bad matches, you know, it might just be worth resting it. It looks like he was limping, but I don't know if that was just kind of a, you know, I'm going to sell this because I just have performed poorly back-to-back days.
I mean, he did get 10 wins too, which is good though. The previous times he's pulled out, I'm not sure of the stat off the top of my head, but I don't think he had 10 wins before he pulled out.
No, which that's why I was kind of surprised, because when he took two losses and let's just say he went 10-2 and then he pulled out day 13. So it was a walkover win for Shodai.
Yep.
So he might have beaten Shodai, and two wins would have won you the Yusho. Potentially, if not, you know, a playoff, because Terada Fuji went 13-2 and, you know, Hakuho was likely going to face Terada Fuji.
Yeah, that would have been that. The way Terada Fuji was fighting would have been one of his tougher fights of that tournament. You got to think that maybe he was too hurt to do it.
Yeah, and there were some people who were speculating that, you know, in you know, this is like the sumo conspiracy that, you know, maybe Hakuhu just knew that he was going to face Taranofuji and he just wasn't fighting 100%. So he just pulled out knowing I'm probably going to take a loss to the guy who's likely to win the tournament at this rate. And, you know, maybe he just didn't want to. Or, you know, like
I feel like he's definitely not that kind of guy.
I don't think so either. Some people, it was just, you know, on social media and whatnot, mm-hmm. that people kind of thought that might have been something that he would have done. But
yeah.
I know he gives 110%, and we've seen him fight injured, so I don't necessarily think that's true.
Yeah, and yeah, when he was on his tear, I'm sure he was injured all the time. Oh, you know what course, I mean?
Yeah.
So
you don't do that kind of tear without some kind of, you know, you don't go on that streak. Without some kind of injury, even just a couple days in there, it's like not 100% healthy.
Yeah. And again, so for people who may not know, Yokozuna, the last week is typically fighting every single upper ranked guy. Yep. So he's going through all the, you know, the upper Magashira guys if he hasn't already. And then he's going through the Komusubis, the Sekiwakes, and the Ozekis.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he did. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's typically that. For Yokozuna, that last week is where you're going to get the meat of the Banzuke.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I was just saying, if he was concerned about getting hurt, it was probably going to be against some of those people.
Yeah, the ones that are going to be able to actually give him a fight. Because, yeah, the only person he fought that was in the Senyaku division was Okunomi. Was the only person that he actually fought, and he was a Komusubi 1 West. And then after that, he didn't face anyone again, Senyaku, until Daisho, and then Matakiyomi, and then the walkover win for Shodai, in which he lost to Daisho, and he lost to Matakiyomi.
Yeah, so he lost to the upper rank.
Yep, he lost to the guys up on Senyaku with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and don't take anything away from those guys, because they performed pretty well. I think the Daisho win, you know, was might have a little bit of a shocker at the time.
It's doesn't too. It's actually a really good point. Like it kind of stinks that, you know, when he does pull out like this, I feel like the guys he fought right before, like it's kind of, I mean, it's probably not really. I'm thinking of American sports, but like kind of a blow to the ego. Like, oh, did I get the full Hakuho during mm-hmm. my fight? It's like it always again kind of adds that asterisk to the end of the fight. It's like, well, he pulled out 2 days later, so he was probably hurt when you fought him. You know, it's like
you never want to take that win away from it because you definitely deserve that win. Mm-hmm. But like I love seeing Mataki only win. That was one person that I wanted to see perform well, and I loved seeing him beat Hakuho.
I mean, anybody beating Hakuho is really fun to watch. It's just because, you know, it's, you know, like everyone likes watching the Patriots lose. It's like when you're beating the top tier teams, it's mm-hmm. or in this case wrestlers, it's always fun to see.
I was excited with Takeomi who finished he's on a streak right now, which could get him into Ozeki with probably one more, because I think right now he's sitting at 28 or 29 wins in three tournaments, and that won't get you in, but between this tournament and last tournament I think he's sitting at 23. So it's, if he puts another, you know, double digit run together.
It's good that he recovered though from his back-to-back losses. When I saw him lose on day 9, I was like, all right, here we go, because he lost on day 8. And it's like, mm-hmm. here's the Matakiyomi of late. He gets on this tear and then, you know, loses the rest. If you look at the January Basho in 2020, you know, he lost to Abi on day 11 and then lost his next 4 matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After he'd been like win loss up to that point, but then the 2 matches before Abi he won and then lost the next 4. Mm-hmm. He did that in the November Basho in 2019 too, although he was way less consistent in that tournament. To be fair, but it seems like once he loses a few, and I'm glad he didn't lose more than just 2 and was able to kind of wrangle it in.
Yeah, and right now I'll correct myself real quick. 21 wins between 2 tournaments. So he would, I'm hoping that he could at least, if he gets 11 next tournament, maybe they give him the Ozeki. If he, you know, 11 with, you know, or 12 with a Yusho, mm-hmm. he might get an Ozeki. But yeah, I hope he can put up another double digit tournament come September when it's in Tokyo again.
Yeah, I mean, sitting at Ozeki is. It's a tough, or rather, sorry, Sekiwake. is a tough rank to be at too. It's you're kind of it just as it's hard to describe. Like there's like a standard there, whereas like up until this point, up until Sekiwake, there's really no. It's like just get more than, you know, win more than you lose.
Yeah,
and you'll move up.
Yeah, you start entering that like expectation when you get to like a probably around like Magashira 2 or 1 when you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm really close to that like subdivision within the top division. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to reach, you know, like I want to get to Komusubi and then I want to get to Sekiwake. And then from there, it's like, all right, well, now I have my goals set on getting to Ozeki.
Yeah. It's like Sekiwake is like they give you like an actual goal, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then once you get to Ozeki, it's like you have to maintain, which is arguably a little tougher than that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously once you get to Yokozuna, it's not necessarily about losing. It's more about winning all the time, you know, like, and making it look good. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. Those ranks, Ozeki and Sekiwake, I feel like are probably the two hardest.
Yeah. Once that's really when the expectation starts to happen. Cause then everyone starts talking about that next step of, all right, well, is he ready for Yokozuna? I mean, is he ready for Ozeki? And it kind of puts that pressure where it's like, Mitakeyomi might know this going into the next tournament where he needs 12 wins. It mm-hmm. could get in his head where, you know, he's thinking more Ozeki rather than just, I want to do my best sumo. I want to perform the best that I can. So yeah, we'll see how he does come September. I'd like to see, you know, I want to get more meat up on the top. I want to get 4 Ozeki like the old days. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Mitakeyomi is probably the next guy to be considered. Like I said, he's the closest. Shodai is a little ways away. And the same thing with Daisho.
It kind of looks like maybe he was robbed on day 11 too. I don't know if you saw that. There was a Monoi Mitakeyomi and Takakesho. I don't know if you saw or if you even noted it, but it looks pretty up in the air. And even after the replay, it kind of looked like Mitakeyomi should have won.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who were talking about that. And I think there were a lot of people who would have been upset. So, and I think people rightfully so could be upset by it because Mitakeyomi finished as one of the runner-ups. You know, he finished at 11-4 and almost had that three-way playoff on day 15. He was third runner-up, but if he had taken that win, so if they had flip-flopped that win between him and Takakesho, I mean, you're looking at Mitakeyomi potentially being 12-3, and, you know, there could have been playoff implications with him. And
yeah, I feel like that could have changed his whole schedule.
Yes, it might have.
Just because the next fight was Hakuho, and then Kageyaki, so it could have been maybe Terra and Fuji earlier than day 15.
Yeah, because they did that, like we talked about last episode, where they put up two guys who were performing well, and they saved the best for last. And, you know, they had Terra and Fuji fight Asunoyama. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what Mitakeyomi's schedule would have looked like if he had taken that Takakesho win. Likely he would have fought Hakuho the next day, but yeah, then he got Kageyaki, Koto Eko, who performed very well, and I'm actually kind of surprised that, and I don't know if that's, you know, Koto Eko did perform, he performed really well. He was 10-5, and at the time, you know, he was Magashira 16.
Yeah.
Fighting Mitakeyomi.
And to fight somebody up that high is.
Yes. You have to be performing pretty well. And, you know, obviously, you know, he beat Koto Eko, which he should have, as much as I don't like it.
Yeah.
Being a big fan of the guys over in the Sadagatake stable. But yeah, no, it's interesting because I think there was a lot of people that were upset about the Mitakeyomi Takakesho fight.
Yeah, it's weird that they can still, like, you have the video. I mean, they must not have all the angles, like, kind of how the NHL works. It sounds like the people who see the replay or, you know, that are making the call don't see all the angles sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, like, sometimes it's just so close to call where, like, it's just almost impossible even with replay.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Koto Eko, too, I'm just looking at the other people he fought. He fought a Magashira 7 on the last day. Mm-hmm. So they were definitely shooting him up the Banzuke quite a bit.
Yeah, and he was on the leaderboard late into, I think like heading into 12 or 13, he might have been on the leaderboard. So he was, you know, he was in there as much as anyone else was, you know, heading into those late double digit days. So I'm not surprised by the fact that they tossed him up a little bit.
Yeah, it's about Takayumi, Tamawashi, mm-hmm. Tokushoru. So he was fighting pretty decent guys.
Yeah, he was. I mean, Tokushoru is no joke, having won the Vasho back in January. He went 7-8. So, you know, I think we've seen where he's really at. He's probably about an average wrestler, and he just caught fire in January for Tokushoru. But yeah, and then it was nice for Kota Waco to wrap up day 15 beating Taritsu Yoshi, which I'm so happy that happened, because there was a report from there's a Twitter account, Sumo Follower. Everyone should go follow him. He does a lot of great coverage, translates Japanese articles. It's all in English, or some of the tweets can be in Japanese. But there was an article that he referenced where Taritsu Yoshi is in the same stable as Taira no Fuji. The Taru part is part of their Beya. So he knew Asanoyama was one of his opponents, and knew that Asanoyama was one of the members of the leaderboard who was kind of preventing Taira no Fuji from potentially winning it. And he ended up going low on him in day 13, think it was. And you know, the article said that he didn't like intentionally go low to go dirty or anything, but it was like, I want to help my stablemate win. And on day 14, you know, he beat Asanoyama, who was on the leaderboard. So,
yeah, it's kind of like a setup.
Yeah. Where it's like, hey, my buddy down here, my stablemate, my family member, you know, he's performing well and I want to help him out a little bit. So I'm going to switch it up. Up to that point, I don't know if I saw Taritsu Yoshi actually do those low kind of moves. And he tried to do it on Kota Waco, and it kind of backfired on him because Kota Waco is smaller and faster, while Asanoyama is a little heavier and slower.
Yeah.
So you could go low and not get that reaction that you got from Kota Waco, who kind of just bounced off of it, caught his feet again, and then pushed him out.
I'm glad, too, that Shodai... go to kind of change gears and switch to another person. But Shodai did pretty well for the rest of the tournament too. I know we were talking about him a lot on the last episode. He lost a few, but I think he should have won. Like, I feel like he was better than Hokuto Fuji for sure. I think, I don't know. I just feel like he left some stuff on the table, Shodai.
Yeah, I mean, he's 11-4 is good, and he fought some. I mean,
he's really good. Yeah,
yeah. He beat Matakiumi, which was one of Matakiumi's losses.
He also got the Fighting Spirit Prize, which I just noticed.
So, yeah. So a lot of the top ranked guys got the prizes. Obviously, I don't know if there was anyone that was lower ranked that got any prizes.
It's interesting here too. I'm actually noticing this now. Just first time I've seen this. He also got the Fighting Spirit Prize in January 2020. He got it in November 2019. So he's no stranger to that prize. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and some of the other guys that got awards, Matakiumi, Daisho, and Taira no Fuji, obviously they all finished with really good records. They all got the Outstanding Performance Award. Mm-hmm. Shodai got the Fighting Spirit, and the Technique Prize went to Taira no Fuji. And I'm not surprised because, you know, he's a very technical individual.
Yeah.
And you know, to go back to that, it's just his recovery and everything has been kind of ridiculous. I mean, he's had all sorts of injuries. I mean, he was saying that, like, he said that he has no MCL, he has no ACL in one of his legs. Like, he's pretty banged up, and the fact that he climbed all the way back up is really good.
It's like, if you imagine, like, how far he went down. Again, we mentioned it. I think at the beginning, the first episode we did in this basho. But that's like going down to, you know, double A or even single A.
Yeah, he went
baseball, and then making your way back up to the majors and winning the World Series. Like, it's kind of not, obviously not the World Series, but, you know, getting a starting role on a team, being like the consistent third baseman after you were pretty much out of the sport.
Yeah, and he dropped pretty far down. Where, I mean, most times if you're going to drop down that far, you probably retire. I mean, some people even just fall into Juryo when they retire. Like we saw Tochi Ozan, who, you know, he's a veteran. He's about 35. He dropped down to Juryo and was like, you know what? I don't want to fight anymore. I'm going to retire. Could be age that was related, or it could just be like, you know what? I've had my fun. I've had my run. I just want to retire. But yeah, you typically, if you see a guy drop down that far, he doesn't climb back up. So props to Taran Fuji for that one.
Yeah. And Shodai actually beat him too, which was I think probably one of Shodai's best wins, especially since Taran Fuji seemed to be in the zone.
Yeah, no, he was performing well, and it scared me because that's what the old days were like with him. He only had two U-shows, but it was just because, once again, we talked about this with Kasina Sato in the past, the former Yokozuna and Ozeki. I think Taran Fuji would have won more if it wasn't for Hakuho being around.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But, yeah.
It would have been interesting to see if Hakuho wasn't around and during the Ozeki days.
Yeah, and like I could see that being super inconsistent with, like, because no one's really, in the time that we've been watching, no one's really strived for that Yokozuna role where, I mean, besides Kasina Sato, who was the picture of just absolute perfection and consistency. Mm-hmm. He was runner up like three or four tournaments in a row, and they didn't give him, you know, the Yokozuna title at all. And I think that's probably what's going to happen with like Asanoyama, for example. Once again, the Sumo follower had an article that, you know, some people were saying, oh, Asanoyama should, you know, be considered for Yokozuna. And it's like, well, not necessarily. I mean, he's a new Ozeki.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
you know, still early.
Yeah. And you know, you, and they pretty much came out and said like, he's not going to start his belt run. And that's what the Yokozuna, they get that rope. And they're not going to give him like the run yet until he actually gets a U-show.
Yeah, he needs a U-show for sure. And he needs to, there were definitely a few fights during that tournament that he should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Just could've very, been very clear wins that he was in pretty good control. And then for whatever reason, lost it, seemingly.
Yeah. Like I said, it could just be like those late day nerves, you know, the mm-hmm. the end is near and you're like, okay, I could really win this. And then you just have that quick slip up where, you know, next thing you know, you're on the clay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like it takes a while. It seems like at that rank to get used to those kind of nerves. Cause again, we keep referencing it, but when we started watching Sumo and the four Ozeki that were up there, mm-hmm. it's, you know, they would make runs constantly every tournament. It was,
yep.
Somebody in the Ozeki rank was, you know, 13-2 or something like that, you know. Yep. Like it just happened to be that Hakuho was putting up 15-0s constantly.
Yeah.
Cuz, you know, he's a complete animal. But I think Asanoyama's got a long way to go at the rank. I think you have to like kind of work your way into that rank.
Yeah, it's definitely a like a transition period definitely has to happen where you need to get rid of those nerves. You need to realize the next, like, your expectations now. You're performing at the second highest rank. You have to get those 8 wins. And it's just like we said, it's so hard to get back. It's to get in and then to keep that rank. So, he's got to get rid of those nerves. And maybe he will. And, like, Takakesho was kind of the same thing. He was Katoban and he got his 8 wins. And then he pulled out. And, you know, he was happy just getting back to getting his Kachikoshi. Not a losing record, but a winning record. You know, and then he, you know, pulled out because he was injured. So, but yeah, well, so the good thing is, like I said, Senyaku looks like it's probably going to stay stable with the exception of Asanoyama and Takakesho switching spots. So East and West will swap. But besides that, everyone else I think will stay where they are.
Yeah, Takakesho did pretty good too, you know, up there. It's good. Again, like you said, just good to see a little bit of consistency up at the top.
Yeah, I want this for give me the rest of the rest of 2020 as weird the year has been. I'd like to see some consistency and keep this going. I want some solid ranks happening.
Yeah, and going back to something we talked about again last episode, I think, or maybe even the first episode, was people just falling out of the ring like crazy, and. Going careening into these empty seats now.
Yeah, Every time I see it, I'm always so nervous that someone's going to cut short, like, you know, and all it's going to take is for them to stop and then they rip something in their knee.
Yeah, it's so, because, yeah, you don't want to go over those bars and crash into those people up there. That's like... yeah,
it's a hell of a journey to get from the ring all the way up there, but that's just what happens with the momentum. It just takes you in that direction.
Yeah, and the Daisho Hokuto Fuji fight on day 9 is what triggered my memory of that. It was just like, I'm watching it, and he's just running up like the stands, and I'm like, oh man, imagine if there were people there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse, honestly, if it would be running through a crowd or catching your toe on one of the, because the where they're sitting is it's raised up like just enough that you would like stub your toe on it, I feel like.
Yeah, potentially. So
it's like, I don't know, and especially when you're running and trying to slow your forward momentum down coming off of, you know, the dohyo, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost like when this fan's there, it's almost like crowd surfing at a certain point where you're like, I'm gonna go into these people, hopefully no one gets hurt, but
yeah, because you can't stop that, it's just gonna happen.
I don't think we've ever seen anyone in the audience ever get hurt, which I'm kind of surprised by.
I'm
kind of surprised that there's no padding or some way for them to kind of stop, because yeah, they get that momentum going and they're like running up the, you know, down the aisle and, you know, or running up into the stands. It's just, you know.
So let's look into here. I'm kind of like thinking now that we're talking more about it, like who I'm really disappointed by in this tournament.
Yeah, there's a few.
One of my biggest disappointments, obviously a big fan of Ikioi, but that's kind of, he can be inconsistent and he'll come back. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's an up and down fighter, but I was actually really disappointed in Enho's performance.
Mm-hmm. He
got caught in weird positions often. I feel like people are starting to figure him out.
Yeah. And I think his numbers of the last handful of tournaments have really shown that people are learning.
He was 6-9 in March. He's 5-10 in this tournament. 8-7 a couple times.
Yeah, so he's like just breaking even or so. But like I said, like he climbed his way through the ranks. But I think now that you're getting up to these people who are they're veterans, they're the top tier wrestler. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be able to pick up on some of his antics. But yeah, 5 is his lowest loss total that he's had in the Makuuchi division.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he'll probably have a semi drop down. He might be like Magashira 10 or 9.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like 10 or 11. He'll probably go down to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I as well as Asunoyama did, I was kind of disappointed with his performance overall too. Just like the last few days, like, I mean, he'll get there, I know that, but and you know, 12-3 is in the grand scheme of things, not that bad. I don't know. I maybe had too high of hopes. I really wanted him to take it.
Yeah, I
know. Especially when Hakuho pulled out, I was like, oh man, like.
It's funny because when Hakuho pulled out, I was getting ready to message you and just be like, oh, it looks like your pick isn't going to do pretty well, and I didn't want to jinx it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, maybe my thought process of that might have jinxed it anyways.
Because
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was lining up to be an Asunoyama Yusho, which would have been great to have, you know, first time Ozeki in there take the Yusho and then kind of start the conversation for Yokozuna. I doubt it would have really gone anywhere, but and who knows how he performs next. But yeah, he left a couple fights that he probably should have won.
Yeah, and actually I just noticed this too. Ichinojo, who I didn't actually notice, he fought on day 15.
Yep. Yeah, so they called him up
and he lost. That's kind of disappointing, actually. I'd like to see him fight up again in Makuuchi.
Yeah, he's 9-6, and depending on how, because there was quite a few guys in Juryo who performed well enough to get called up. Meisei won the tournament with his 10-5 record, so he'll obviously go up. Like Tobi Zaru, who, you know, some of these guys we're hearing for the first time, because now they're starting to make their way in, so like he's probably going to get called up. Ichinojo might have a chance. But there's a couple other guys like Yoko Taisei at 10-5 who could get a call up before him. But Ichinojo, the interesting thing is, so he was actually first day action on day 15 for the Makuuchi division. And what would have been interesting is if he had won his match, he would have been in a playoff. If he would, because he would have gone to 10-5, he would have been in a playoff with Meise. And there was people were speculating, like, how are you going to do that? Because technically the Juryo action is over. You're now into Mikuchi. Would you then go back to Juryo and finish off that, or would you have like a final match after Hakuho? Or
yeah, that would be weird. After yeah. the
last Mikuchi fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've always liked Ichinojo down in Juryo. You know, he's been, I think he's been up in like Sekiwake. He's
yeah, he's been up pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah, his highest was Sekiwake, and I don't think it was that long ago when he was up there. But yeah, he could get a call up. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily a. Wasn't really expecting him to knock it out of the park, we'll say. But seeing Kota Nowaka pull out was also pretty disappointing.
Yeah, no, young guy, you'd never want to see a lower body injury. He did come back for day 14 and 15.
Yeah, he did come back and fight.
So,
yeah.
So he was he was probably just trying to salvage at least one or two more wins, because he's sitting at that weird rank where, you know, you're 4-6, you have 5 withdrawals. Are you going to get demoted down to Juryo? I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they just place him at 17 and give him another shot.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Because he's
if
not,
he's still in, it's going to be on the edge, I think.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe we go with 18 come September, because there's a couple of those guys who are like Kota Nowaka. Yeah, he's a candidate to be, you know, potentially going down to Juryo, but then you have all these Juryo guys who want to come up. Now it's 4, 6, and 5 worth dropping down about 10 ranks. And we'll see what the Sumo Association does with him.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I mean, I like as many as we can get of Mikuchi, because that's the one that's most publicly available over here in the States. So
yeah, we don't get a lot of the Juryo. Typically, it's like quick 8-minute tweets or something like that, where we get a highlight from Juryo, or maybe if there's a, you know, a Twitter account that follows a certain guy up his ranks, you know, we might get it, but. You know, we don't get even NHK World still only does the upper ranks. They don't do Juryo yet.
Yeah.
Yet. I'm hoping they do. I'd love to see NHK even just do like a very, very simple basic Juryo recap.
Yeah, even if they just showed wins and losses, I would be okay with that. Something. I understand, like, they're doing a way better job of appealing to the more broad audience than they have ever.
Yeah, the last couple of years they've been putting those highlights up, which has been great. I still wish they either kept an archive of them, because they get rid of them after, I believe it's after like 30 days when the next tournament has their, so like when the next Banzuke comes out at the end of August for September, they typically take the whole website down, or they take they erase everything off the website and then get ready for September. And I kind of wish they kept an archive around, because like as we reference these things, you know, if people aren't familiar with where to watch them, it's going to be hard to reference them. Like, oh, you should go check out this match that was Kota Shogiku versus Taira Fuji.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, you have to do some digging probably for a fight like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think those, and like Ishiura, and the other small guy who I like to watch, went 4-11 at Magashira 8. That's kind of a bummer. I don't think he won't drop out of Mikuchi for that, but.
Probably not, but once again, he's a candidate for 17 or 16.
I think they'd probably slot him in at 14 or 15. I feel like coming from 8.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4-11 though, and they'll probably also look at his quality of wins too.
Yeah.
See if there's anyone really in there that he beat that could be worth, you know, keeping him around. I mean, unfortunately, he beat Kota Shogiku, our boy. So.
Yeah, and Kota Shogiku, it was awesome to see him get his 8 wins. But it was rough the last few days, which is unfortunate. He did have, you know, there was definitely a competition there. But his wins were so good. You know, he put a lot of really good, he strung together a couple wins in a row, especially on day 7, 8, 9. That was really good to see.
Yeah, and finishing with 4 losses is rough. You know, 8 and 7 is okay. He'll go up a rank or two, but I was really, really hoping to see double digits. He had 8 wins heading into day 11.
Yeah.
So I was like, at least one more win, like just a 9 and 6. But I mean, overall, I still think he fought really well in those matches.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that he got his Kachikoshi.
Yeah, he's sticking around. It's awesome. It's still good to see. It's always fun.
I love seeing him fight, and especially since he can be around for some of the other guys that are in his stable, like him and Kota Shoho both finished at 8-7. Kota Waco, like I said, I think performed very well at 10-5. Kota Yuki pulled out with an injury. He was 6-8-1, so he'll go down to Jerry, unfortunately.
Kota Yuki turned it up there in the last few days, though. He was in nice shape.
I feel bad because I was saying in the episode through 8 days, he was 2-6, and I pretty much counted him out. Yeah. And he climbed back. I believe he got to 6-6.
Yeah, he was pretty close to getting his 8.
Yeah, and so it was kind of, I'll take back the words that I was saying when I thought he was pretty much done. I figured it'd be a huge demotion. And that, he'll probably go down to like Jurio 3 or 2.
Yeah.
With a 6-8-1. I was hoping for better, with his penguin hands. That's what they call him. I think they call him the penguin because his hands are always taped together. Like a penguin's pen.
You got any disappointing?
Yeah, I think
disappointments from this Basha.
Yeah, I think the obvious one for me is Onosho.
It
seems like every tournament I want him to do well. I'm always picking him for like fantasy sumo.
Yeah.
I always have him on my list of people who I expect to do better. And he didn't get his first win until day 14. And I think when he won, you could kind of see that relief in his face where he was like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm not going to go.
But day 14, he beat Ikioi, who was also struggling pretty bad. So
yeah, I looked at that and I was like, you know what? I like both of those wrestlers. But like Onosho is a little bit younger. I also want to see the guy who's 0-13. I never want to see anyone go 0-15,
even people
in the past who we haven't been big fans of. I always feel bad for them going 0-15. He'll have a huge drop though. He'll go down pretty far.
Yeah, that's probably going to put him 13-14 probably, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing they'll stick him. And he's been up high as Komatsubi, so he can perform up there. But yeah, he changes Mawashi, I think, on day 10 or 11. And I saw that was like the first thing I noticed because traditionally he's wearing his red one. He switched over to a darker colored one. I forget if it was like brown or black. And I just thought, I was like, I hope you're doing that to switch your luck up, because a lot of people end up doing that where they're performing poorly and they just switch the color of their Mawashi. I don't know if it's just the mindset where it's like a fresh beginning, new color. Let's start this over. He got 2 wins with it on. So with his traditional Mawashi, he was, 0-10, and then he was 2-3 with the other color. So, he's the obvious disappointment. Let's see, who else was some other kind of disappointments that I had? I think you covered most of the other ones that I had.
It's just, there's like a group of guys that, since we've been watching, it's like a lot of the names that we recognize right away, I just kind of like, I follow still, like Heisei, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He went 6-9. That was kind of a bummer. Oyama went 5-10. Those kind of guys are guys that have been around since we started watching. It's always kind of a bummer to see them
mm-hmm.
drop down.
Yeah, I think that was it for the upper division and just the disappointment. I mean, I guess the other thing I kind of hated was the whole Abi situation. I don't think it was anything that was, really overshadowing the tournament, but now it's like post-tournament, now you really get into the details of, potentially what happened, and there's just rumors floating out with who was involved with him. And I don't know if they're just going to like lay down the hammer on him and, just kick him out, say, we can't, you already did the whole thing last year with a social media fiasco. Now that you're breaking COVID rules, like, this is no joke. This is things that are killing people. Now we've had it with you. And there was someone who was involved with him. The name's not yet out, and I'm sure it will be as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
But he's put in his letter of resignation, potentially. So he handed off to his stable master, and they're debating whether or not he should retire or continue on with whatever punishment they're going to do. I don't know. So I guess that's kind of another disappointing. I'm not a big fan of Abi to begin with, but it's the first tournament back after COVID. Let's just have a clean tournament. And then this kind of controversy happens where you have someone breaking protocol.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how impactful this is to the sport. You know what I mean? It's like, even in Japan, it's popular, obviously, especially, especially in the last, you know, since the Hakuho era, it's definitely had a resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're kind of teetering on, you got a little instability at the top, at the upper ranks. You know, like Hakuho is, you know, not the Hakuho from even 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Haruma Fuji stuff. You just had Kasino Sato retire out of, you know, as a Yokozuna was forced to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Kakaru's kind of been banged up too. Like, your sport is, you know, it's starting to lose some of your big players.
Yeah, you're getting into almost a questionable period where, like, let's just say Kakaru retires, then Hakuho retires. You have no one who's really sitting in the waiting for Yokozuna. And I don't want them to force anybody into there, either just to fill the rank and be like, hey, look, we have a Yokozuna. It's like, no, that's a spot that people earn. And, like, I don't want them to, like, force Asano Yama into it. Like, you know, if Hakuho and Kakaru retired and Asano Yama's still sitting at Ozeki, it's like, I'd almost rather have it be empty than force somebody into it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't remember when the last time there was no Yokozuna.
It's probably been a very long time. At least as long as we've been watching there, it has always been. I think even decades before. You know, we can pull that information up and get that out next time. But you have to go back a while, I think, for no active, at least no Banzukade Yokozuna, whether they performed or not. That, you know, happens all the time where
and your sport is super fragile right now. So it's like, don't do anything silly. Like, you're already barely filling, you know, you have to do 25% capacity, I believe is what they went with.
Yeah, it was either 25 or like 15. It was in that 15 to 25 range. I forget the exact number, but with the limited capacity and you know, people rightfully afraid of COVID, now you're appealing to everyone who's home watching this too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now there's probably more people watching at home, you know, people who are interested, you have the available time to just be able to dedicate to it. Because a lot of people are probably working remote. So, you know, you tune in when you're home, you can catch these matches now that people aren't, you know, they might not be catching the highlights anymore. They might be catching this live, and, you know, they want a good performance without any kind of, you know, controversy overshadowing the tournament. But maybe we're just blowing it out of proportion. I think it's kind of a big deal.
Like, I think it's kind of a big deal too, only because of its timing, and it's just not just with COVID and stuff, like I said, with the ranks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and Abi was a popular guy too. People liked Abi. I'm sure they still do.
And when he first came up, like I said last episode, he had that, like, he's very tall, he's all legs, and I looked at it, I was like, I haven't seen anyone who's a lot of legs. Like, that was the first thing I noticed about him. I was like, he is very, very tall, and most of his height is in his legs, which is good for distance fighting, and that's what he does. He's a, you know, he's a slapper pusher, and and then something happened where I changed my opinion on Abi, and then everything happened, and, you know, just kind of went south from there. But yeah, in this last guy, I'm just going to throw it out there. It's not a disappointment. It's more of a, I'm going to take us on a feels trip here. But Ryuden, he came up about the same time as Abi. They're very different aged, but Ryuden came up. And he was actually really good friends with Shobushi. So he was the sumo wrestler who had passed away from COVID back in May. And they were stablemates. Or they were close friends, I think. And he had mentioned before the tournament that he was going to fight in honor of his friend. And for those who don't know who Shobushi is, he wasn't a high-ranked guy, and he did a lot of the funny performances for sumo. So he'd, like, get in the ring, he'd, like, slap the guy in the back of the head to be, like, a comedic relief, and people would go and see these shows. But he also fought, I believe he was down in Sadanme, might have been his highest rank. But, just to... You know, Ryuden, good at 7 and 8. I'm sure he wanted to perform better since he was fighting for a friend, but
He won't shift too much. Yeah, so
no, he'll go down to 7, and he was fighting with a heavy heart. I'm sure it's hard to get back in the ring when, you know, you're fighting for a friend who passed away.
Yeah, and I think that's also something cool about sumo, is I kind of feel like, I mean, maybe it's not, maybe this is just me fantasizing about how things should be, but I feel like they take that kind of stuff into account. You know, like, if he's got a lot of stuff going on and it, you know, it's sumo related, that could be deal, you know, like, instead of bumping him down 2 ranks, let's just bump him down 1. Cause there's no, like, official,
Yeah.
Like, you lost this many, you go down this many ranks. It's just kind of...
Yeah, and I think they take a lot of... Yeah,
exactly. They take a lot of things into account.
Yeah, I was going to say who he beat might come into play, where they, and they'll probably just drop him down one. Like, I think most 500 records, you really only go down one or two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he beat Enho, he beat Hobby, Ishiura. Who else did he beat? Ono Show is not really a good measurement. Typically, I think in other tournaments he might have been.
I mean, but still, it's a market share of one. It's not,
yeah. That's very true.
But yeah, so I mean, he fought some pretty good guys. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if that plays into a lot of this in terms of where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Kota Shigeku, yeah. So
yeah. No, like I said, there was some fights that, I love cheering on Kota Shigeku in every match. I'm just like screaming at my phone. My wife is always like, what are you doing? Like, oh, it's just it's Kota Shigeku, the guy I follow. And, it's always funny to hear a reaction when I'm over there, like cursing at my phone or like cheering when he's winning and all that. So
yeah,
love watching his fights.
So now that we've talked about the bad, let's talk about, I mean, obviously Terence Fuji is the big surprise. Mm-hmm. I mean, we expected him to do well, but not that well.
Yeah. I'm not really surprised, because I figured, I didn't know if he would win, because I thought if he faced a healthy Hakuho, maybe he wouldn't have gotten it. Same thing with facing a healthy Kakaru. You're still going to beat those two, and if they were both present in the tournament. But yeah, most of his wins were the lower ranked guys that I pretty much knew he was going to manhandle.
He was blown through those first week. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, so outside of that, who surprises you a bit?
My positive surprises, we talked about Kota Waco, mm-hmm. Especially since he got called up to fight. He fought Mitake Umi. He was performing very well. He was part of the leaderboard going into the late stages. So he was a surprise for me, which I was very happy about. Asanoyama, I think we've talked a lot about him in the beginning. Like I said, new to the Ozeki rank, took his 12 wins. He should just be super, super proud of that, knowing that he just got his 12 wins. It sucks that he came up just one victory short. But we'll, those two. And I love seeing Takayasu, the former Ozeki, 10-5. He looked really, really good. He was battling an elbow injury for the last handful of tournaments, and it kind of bumped him out of that Ozeki rank because he had to pull out, and then he went Katerban and then didn't get his wins and then kind of dropped down. So yeah, Takayasu with 10-5, I was very happy with. And then there were some other guys that, I had good records, but I won't, I'm iffy on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of my biggest surprises, which it wasn't even on my radar at the beginning of this tournament, was Wakataka Kage. I got the name,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. And like,
yeah,
I'm excited for his brother to come up.
Yeah, that's we talked about him last episode a bit too. Mm-hmm. He beat three of the five Kodo boys in his first 5 days. But a 10-5 finish from somebody who's been, he was in Juryo the last two. And went all the way from Juryo 2 up to Magashira 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then to put up a 10-5, I feel like is pretty good.
Yeah, he did well.
So it's, I don't know. I think that's a name that is hard to say, but I think I'll be kind of keeping an eye on him going forward.
Yeah, and he could potentially be the next future, the young guys, because he's only 26. So he's part of that new crop that's coming up. He's not as young as like Kota Shoho, who's, 21 and, doing pretty well. And, he finished at 8-7. But yeah, Wakataka Tage, I'm excited to see him fight more.
Also too, so his only other stint in Makuchi was back in November 2019, and he went, he had pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
So he went 4-1-10. His only loss was the day he decided to pull out, so it's only full loss.
Yeah,
he obviously had the 10 pull out losses. But
yeah, I remember because I had followed him a little bit when he was in Jerio, because his brothers were, I think we mentioned this last episode too, it was just an interesting story because it was a pair of brothers and obviously we're brothers. Mm-hmm. I saw his story of like his brothers were doing his work and you know, taking care of him, and to see the younger brother succeed more than his older brothers, you know, and I saw him get called up and I was super excited. And then, yeah, he got injured and had to pull out. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see him. I think that's a name to keep an eye on.
And Irigiru kind of recovered a lot from his last stint of he was Magashira 1 back in January, Magashira 6 in March, both. So he went 5-10 in January at Magashira 1, then 4-11 at Magashira 6, mm-hmm. but was able to put 10 wins together at Magashira 10 this tournament. So
yeah, it's funny hearing that 4-11 record and thinking, like, I almost think a 6-10 drop wasn't enough.
Yeah, actually. He only dropped 4 ranks.
But it could just depend on, you know, how everyone else around him performed, where if it was an overall mediocre tournament, maybe his 4-11 looked good. So I don't know. But yeah, no, he did well too.
But yeah, I guess it's hard to pick big surprises, just because the upper rank for, you know, what I feel like has been a while, was pretty consistent all across the board, you know, between the Sekiwake, the Komatsubi, the Ozeki. And unfortunately, we had a Yokozuna. No Yokozuna, really, for most of that. Well, not most of that tournament, but for a good portion.
Mm-hmm.
That mattered. The big portion that mattered, we didn't have a Yokozuna.
Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, Okunomi was a win short of 10, and Takakesho, if he wasn't injured, probably, you know, might have gotten 10. I'm glad that everyone else had double digits. I mean, we had Kakuru who pulled out, so he had no wins.
Mm.
But having the Senyaku have double digits performing well, you know, it makes things interesting. Like, it means any of those guys could potentially win. And I like to see that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm gonna see. It'll be interesting to see how everyone does now that there was no break, really. I'm assuming they're not doing exhibitions. I actually didn't look into that.
Correct. Yeah. So I think exhibitions are at least suspended through 2020, if I read correctly. They won't be doing any of that. And I still don't even think there's going to be any out of stable training either. But at least this time you'll know that the next tournament should happen, unless there's a spike of COVID and then they can't hold it like they did in May. Maybe they just go back with no audience in September again.
Yeah, it sounds like they're pretty set on doing it. I haven't read anything to the contrary, but
yeah, and their guidelines were good, and they were able to have 15. The other thing that was interesting about this tournament is, so they had people in attendance. They couldn't cheer though, so they weren't allowed to yell and scream.
Oh, really? I didn't know. Correct. That.
Yeah. So if you go back and watch the highlights, there's a lot of just like loud clapping. There was an account that I follow on Twitter. Who said that he went to day 14 and there was some guy who was being super, super rowdy. And he was like over the top clapping, where it was almost obnoxious. because in place of screaming, because I'm guessing they could probably pinpoint you because it's only 2,500 rather than I think the 10,000 that the Kokugikan can hold. You know, they're going to pinpoint you pretty easily. So,
I don't even know if the Kokugikan can handle that many people.
I don't know. It might. Maybe it's like, because I thought they said there was. Let me take a look.
Yeah, now we're both looking it up.
I don't want to be false on my information. The capacity is 11,098.
There you go. Yeah, it doesn't feel that big. Having been there, it does not feel that big.
Yeah, I haven't had the luxury of being inside. You have been there. You were there for multiple days, and
yeah,
so you would know that it doesn't feel like it could hold 11,000 people.
Yeah, definitely does not feel like, you know, I'm comparing it to right now, like the TD Garden here in Boston that holds 17,000.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel anywhere near close to that, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just like with all the seats being it's kind of sectioned off, so it makes it look like it doesn't hold as many, but when you really like jam pack people into there.
Yeah. I mean, they fit an amazing amount up on the upper rafter mm-hmm. area there.
Yeah. And part of the guidelines where you couldn't be, you had to have one person each of those sections, regardless of what either, even if you were part of the same like quarantine group, I think they refer to it as. So like if you were coming as a family, you sat in individual like booths. You weren't allowed to sit next to each other. I'm like pretty sure, I could be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like that, like just from the zoom outs and stuff that you could see.
Yeah. But yeah, there was no cheering. So like you heard lots of claps and, you know, there might have been like more clapping because they couldn't scream. So, but yeah, it was interesting to be like, oh wow, it's quiet. There's no screaming. No
cheering. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I won't get into it too much, but you'd never get that here. People would get kicked out of that place so fast if you ever try to make a rule like that here.
Yeah. The sports here are pretty rowdy. And even as desperate as people are to probably get in and see a game live, yeah, first quarter of a football game, you'd be thrown out of the stadium in 2 seconds. Hockey game, you know, the puck drops and you're having people scream already.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, that's the big difference is if you really want something, you gotta work for it. And that's what they did. Like, people got to attend, they followed the rules. Hopefully this continues in September and you get another group of people who can, you know, get to go to the KokugiCon and check out the fights.
Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully none of the wrestlers have been really affected by it. I definitely feel that could spread pretty quick if it gets into a stable. At least, I guess, you know, that's the purpose of them, you know, having inter-training.
Yeah, and that's why the whole Abby thing is very concerning.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it wasn't just him. I mean, it's not looking at your stable mates, you know, the people you fought. Like, if he went out like day two and they didn't realize until day five, well, those, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys, they could all be potentially infected with something that they didn't know because Abby decided to make this poor decision and go out and all that. And it could even cost the tournament. Where it's like, let's get some stability going. Let's have a tournament again. And, hopefully have the same rules in September.
Yeah. So that being said, now that we've kind of covered this tournament, we're thinking we'll do some in-between episodes.
Yeah. You know, we have some, we have some personal stories that would be interesting to tell. I don't know what the coverage will look like during our time. Like I said, we're not really going to be like a news source. We're more of opinion. So maybe we'll cover some news if it's something major and it might have an impact on a tournament. But we won't necessarily be like, well, breaking news, you know, Bobby suspended.
Yeah. I think it'll be like if something interesting pops up in the sumo world, I could see us throwing some stuff together and talking about it for a little bit. But yeah, for those who don't know, there's no tournament again until September, especially with exhibitions and things like that. It'll probably be pretty, pretty limited sumo stuff, but we got some fun stuff to share and, you know, maybe cover some old tournaments, pick some of our favorite fights and kind of go over them. And so, yeah, I think that's the direction we're going to go with this.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's how we'll cover the between months, where things are a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they'll have typically it's like the last week of the previous month where they announce the next sponsor case. So I know maybe we'll have an episode that's not necessarily dedicated to it, but our thoughts on
reaction episode to the bonzer case coming out.
Yeah, exactly. where people were dropped down to, or if someone came up that was a kind of a surprise. I don't follow the Sadagataki lower ranked guys too much. But I'm always excited to kind of just search for all those guys and see how they do it and just kind of see if they're on the rise. Like, you know, I was kind of following. So Koto Diego, top of Makushita, which is the third division, he was 3-4. And I was hoping that he would get to 4-3. Maybe he moves up. I don't know how they handle 3-4s down that low. Or maybe they just keep him at, you know,
same rank, yeah.
Makushita 1. But yeah, I think those are always the guys I'm always following, the Sadagatake stable, to see how they perform overall and just see if there's more of them invading the top two ranks. Because I want to see more of those guys up.
Cool. Yeah. So I think we'll wrap this one up. And actually, is there anybody you want to, you had mentioned a Twitter account that you've been following. I don't know if you want to actually give out the Twitter handle here at the end.
Yeah, so I mentioned it earlier today too, but it's Sumo Follower. Like I said, they do
a great. At Sumo Follower.
Yeah, at Sumo Follower. You can check us out on Twitter if you want, at Super Sumo Brothers.
Yeah.
But yeah, at Sumo Follower. Like I said, they provide great coverage of all news that's coming out of the sumo world. They cover, they do a bunch of videos from matches. They do, they have a lot of coverage of lower ranked guys too, like Joni Don, Sadanme. They don't give all the coverage, but they do certain like highlight matches that might be some guy who's popular in the community, somebody who's you know, up and coming that people need to keep an eye on. But yeah, get on there, check them out. They do great job coverage, and they're very, very active even between months. So yeah, check it out on Twitter at Sumo Follower.
Yeah, definitely get your fix there. Yeah, you can find our updates and anything, you know, that we're working on. Most of the stuff will probably be via Twitter.
Yeah. So yeah, at Super Sumo Brothers Twitter, and then our website supersumobrothers.com.
And we're also on Spotify, actually.
So. Yeah, we're also on Spotify too. Yeah, so you can listen to our podcast there. You can listen to it on our website. Yeah, just check us out.
But yeah, thanks for taking the time to listen, and we'll see you for sure before the next Boss Show.
Absolutely. Take care.